The views and opinions expressed on The World in Crisis with John Gasser do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WJJC Radio, Whisperin' 95.1 FM, any political subdivision, or the United States Navy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to World in Crisis with John Gassard. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We are coming to you from Commerce, Georgia, with the studios of Whisper 95.1 FM, WJJC 1270 AM, Whisper951.com, and WJJC.net. And when you go to our website there, you can get that 24 hours a day, of course. And when you do that, if you'll use a computer, a laptop, a tablet, something like that, you'll get a little bit better experience than you get off the phone. The phone does not necessarily always open up all of the aspects of the website. Now, when you get there, check out the locally produced programs page. There you'll find World in Crisis, where the last four shows will be there for you to view at, or listen to at your leisure. And there's also some embedded programs that you really should listen to that give you really some real hardcore background information about things that are going on in the world today and how they relate to Bible prophecy. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia, and Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. I know they play the program at different times of the day and different days of the week. So wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gasser. John?
Well, good evening to Commerce, Georgia, and all our internet listeners worldwide. We are privileged to have you with us each week for World in Crisis as we examine God's prophetic word and look for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, this world is peering into the abyss, and I suspect the abyss is beginning to peer back.
Absolutely.
You have precious little time left to make a decision between life and death. You can choose life through Jesus Christ, or you can choose death and hell, and the choice is yours. I plead with you, I beg you, this very night, that you would pray to receive the Lord Jesus into your heart so that you might be saved and pass from death to life and life eternal. Rob?
Absolutely right, John, and that's what we're here for. We're here to warn you, but we're also here to let you know that there's a way out. You do not have to stick around for all of this horrible stuff that's going to happen. You can accept Jesus Christ, and before this stuff happens, you will be with him in heaven, raptured out. The word rapture, of course, is not in the Bible, but that's the phrase that's been used all my life. Everybody should know what that means. You don't have to be here for all this terrible stuff. Now, before we get too deep, John, let's do the quote of the day. That's always well received.
Apparently so, based on listener response. And tonight, the quote comes from Ayn Rand, albeit an atheist. Quoting, when you notice that to produce, you need to get permission from those who do not produce anything. When you check that money flows to those who do not deal with goods, but with favors. When you realize that many become rich by the bribery and for influence more than by your work, and that the laws do not protect you against them, but on the contrary, they're the ones who are protected against you. When you discover that corruption is rewarded, and honesty becomes a self-sacrifice, then you can assert without fear of being wrong that your society is doomed, unquote.
Absolutely right. And boy, she hit it right, they hit the nail right on the head, as they say. Now, John, as I suspect that you were probably thinking, well, that's what's going to happen this week, as you can expect, all of the questions, or just about all of them anyway, certainly in the 90 percentile, questions, comments, anything like that, that came in this week were really concerned with the Iranian attack on Israel. But and it's a little different than it has been with Hezbollah and Hamas and all that sort of thing. And what is your, they want to know what your take on it is and how it lines up with timing and all the things that are going on over there. Because, I mean, it's only been a few months since this really got started. And it just seems to be getting bigger and bigger.
Well, it escalated from 7 October of last year.
Right.
When the Hamas conducted a military operation against civilians in Israel. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you are witnessing the unfolding of the plan of God before your eyes, and you can't stop it. Now, the timing for that plan is in his hands. As I have said a number of times over the last month or 6 weeks, the global elite, the World Economic Forum, Antichrist, Satan himself, cannot bring their new world order to fruition outside of the determinate, the predeterminate will of God. It can't happen. That's his call. It's not their call. But I can tell you that as Jesus described in Matthew 24 and certainly verse 37, just like the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. That's not similar to, that's identical to. And he likened it to birth pains. Now, birth pains have a mathematical relationship. Universally understood, how a baby comes in the world and contractions and so forth start slow and far apart, and they get more intense, more severe, until the baby comes to term. So if you were to graph it out with your high school, a little high school algebra, you would find a graph that is not arithmetic, it is geometric. And so it gets faster and faster, and in fact, that is what we're seeing in the on-ground reality. So there is a war. There are two wars described. But I'm going to take an aside here.
Okay.
This is why this ministry is not and has never been scripted. I had some things I had planned to address in this episode, not the least of which is the exploding doctrinal error, apostasy, and outright heresy occurring within the mainline churches, heresy upon heresy, in fact. But this occurred, this is the first time, this is a departure from what we have seen historically, ladies and gentlemen. This is the first time that the Iranian state has directly attacked Israel. You're aware of that, aren't you, Rob?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay. So this changes the calculus and ups the ante significantly, inexorably moving us toward the war of Gog and Magog. Now, there's a war described in Psalm 83, and as I have explained in years past, if you look at the protagonist and so forth in Psalm 83, that's describing the inner circle of enemies of Israel. The enemies described in Ezekiel 38 are the outer circle of enemies, and that is what is becoming active. Now, if you'll recall, if you have been following World in Crisis, you know that for the better part of a year, I have tried to tell you and our listening audience to stop listening to the idiots on the television. Turn off the idiot box and open your Bible. You're not going to understand. All you're going to do is be fear-mongered. They're going to scare you to death and talking about all this war. Russia's coming. We're going to have a nuclear war. China's going to invade. United States is going to collapse. Hogwash. All hogwash. That does not square with the Word of God. It is not the Antichrist and the New World Order is not controlled by the East. It's controlled by the West. Antichrist arises in the West. It is the Western Alliance that will, in fact, have titular control over the entire world, and the entire world will worship the leader that comes out of here, not out of Russia, not out of China, not out of Syria or some the Syrian or whatever all that nonsense is. That is all hogwash. We're not going to have Russia's destiny is not war with the United States or NATO. It's war with God on the mountains of Israel. And you can listen to this old preacher very carefully. The Russian bear will be drawn south in the not too distant future. Forget Ukraine. All that's a distraction. We can seem to appropriate, Rob, it seems like I read this, we can appropriate, multiplied, made $340 million for border security in foreign countries, but we can't protect our own.
Right.
Or I should say we refuse to protect our own.
Absolutely.
But I digress. So The triggering event, if you look at the totality of the circumstances and the facts described in Scripture, seem to indicate, A, that this war occurs at the very beginning or just prior to the rapture of the church. Why is that, preacher? Well, your clue is also found in Ezekiel 38. They are burning weapons for fuel for 7 years. That is not a coincidence.
That's a lot of weapons.
Yeah, and it's not a coincidence. There's no such thing as coincidence.
No.
Isaiah 55 records that God declared the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things which are not yet done. So history is linear. Everything you see is driven out of the spiritual dimension. Remember, the Apostle Paul warned us explicitly in Ephesians 6:12 that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where the battle is enjoined. Everything you see is driven out of that unseen spiritual dimension. Now, let me add here. Rob, you remember how Daniel prayed to receive the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream?
Oh, yes, the dream, yes.
Right. Well, the scripture records that it took the archangel Michael 21 days to get to Daniel, to get the interpretation of the dream to him, because he had to fight the prince of Persia. Now, what is ancient Persia? Ancient Persia is modern Iran. Now, let's pose, this is a test question. Do you think that the spiritual entity which had hegemony over ancient Persia at that time went away? It's still alive and well. It still has hegemony over modern Iran. Nothing has changed, ladies and gentlemen. Still promoting destruction of the Jewish people and the land of Israel. They wanted. Why do you think these fools out here in the street that are waving Hezbollah flags, championing mass murder and genocide of a people, blocking expressways and all this, they ought to be rounded up and thrown in jail? That's where they belong. But in any event, and re-educated to the fact that you are championing mass murder. But again, I digress. So we are seeing a process now which is moving Israel and Iran onto a direct collision course.
Right. It's not going to be proxies anymore.
No. They have historically operated by proxy. In other words, the Iranian state, which is the largest state sponsor of terrorism in the world, has always funded half a dozen or more disparate terrorist groups.
Yeah, well, the Houthis, the Hezbollah, well,
you
Hamas,
got,
all come
the Hamas
to mind
in the south. You got the, in fact, Israel is now in a two-front war, Rob. They got the Hamas in the south and Hezbollah in the north. That's a two-front war.
Right.
All right. Now you have an incursion, a military incursion by Iran. Now I remember my first trip over there to when I trained with the Israeli National Police in 2004. A general officer put a map up on the board and showing the state of Israel, which is only 44 miles wide and 222 or 25 miles long. That's it. It would fit into the state of New Jersey. Yeah. It's a tiny piece of real estate. In any event, but this map defined the Gaza Strip, which, by the way, was ancient Philistia. That was the land of the Philistines. It's always been filled with Nephilim and the enemies of Israel. Still filled with the enemies of Israel. That's where Samson toppled the temple of Dagon.
Right.
In fact. So as I looked at the Gaza Strip and I looked at Lebanon and Syria to the north and then to the east, and you see to the north, directly north, Russia, and then, of course, Iran. At that point, I stopped thinking like a cop, and I started thinking like a commander of the United States Navy. What I saw was a setup for a double envelopment. What is that? Well, a double envelopment is the oldest military maneuver on Earth. It was first used by Hannibal, and it is devastating. What I saw was an attack coming from the south, from the north, and from the east, and you push the Jews into the sea. There's just one problem, God Almighty, because he declares that will not happen. I know we're moving toward a hard break, and I want some continuity. Let's go ahead and take that.
All right, let's go ahead and take the break. We'll be back right after this. This is World in Crisis with John Gassert. Stay with us. Welcome back to World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We are coming to you from Commerce, Georgia, studios of Whispering 95.1 FM, WJJC 1270 AM in Commerce, Georgia. Of course, you can get us worldwide 365 days a year, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day at WJJC.net and Whispering951.com. Now, when you go to those two platforms, it's better to use a computer or laptop, but you can use your phone, but sometimes you don't get the entire experience if you use the phone. But that's neither here nor there. What I'm trying to tell you is when you go to the websites, make sure you check out the locally produced programs page, and there you'll find World in Crisis. Now, when you go to World in Crisis page, you'll find our archives, where you'll find at least the last four of the broadcast that you can listen to at your leisure, plus some embedded things that you really need to listen to give you a firm foundation on where John stands with what's going on in the world today. There's also a place there to donate to the ministry if you so choose, but remember, 100% of every dime, not a penny, is spent on anything other than purchasing additional airtime for World in Crisis. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas, and America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia. Wherever you're listening, whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gasser. John?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me make a housekeeping note here. There are four archive shows on our webpage. I would encourage you, this show should be up Friday morning. It may be Saturday morning because sometimes, depending on the queue with the IP provider, it takes an extra day. In any event, I would encourage you to listen to the last four shows. It will give you a great deal of continuity.
And share them with your friends.
Yeah, absolutely. And that continuity and a perspective on what is happening as it relates to the on-ground reality in front of you. Also, there's no need to write in here and tell me rapture is not in the Bible. You're in the wrong version. It is in the Bible, but it's in the Latin translation, the Latin Vulgate. It comes from rapio, from the Latin, and where we get our word rapture. But I'm in Jeremiah 31, and beginning in verse 31. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. And we're talking about the millennial age here. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach again each man his neighbor, and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, then the offspring of Israel also shall cease to exist from being a nation before me forever. No power on earth can change this. God himself will march forth for Israel. And you can quote me, please.
Absolutely.
We are witnessing, this world is devolving into madness. They are in utter and absolute rebellion against God Almighty. And it's not going to end well. There is an escape hatch in Romans 10, 9, and 10. But you have to receive somebody out there listening. The Holy Ghost is on me. Somebody listening to my voice needs the Lord Jesus, and you need him right now. And I pray that you will receive him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a joke. It's all true, every jot and tittle of it. The Lord Jesus is fixing to remove his church from this world one day in the not too distant future. When this hoedown begins, you do not want to be here, Rob.
No, absolutely not. I mean, as bad as things are, and as whatever you can imagine that it gets worse, it's a million times worse than that.
It will make Nazi Germany look like a Sunday school picnic.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Old Testament canon declares, I'll make mortal man as scarce as the gold of Ophir, and there'll be few men left. I suspect there will not be much more than about 16% of the world population alive when the Lord Jesus comes
back.
That's
about 7.5 billion people that are gone at this jump. You know.
Something, well, about 2 billion, maybe yeah. 2 billion left out of 8.
Yeah.
Listen.
Not much.
Listen carefully. Do you realize that in the first half of the tribulation, in 1,260 days, 25% of the world population will perish? That's about 2 billion people in 1,260 days. That, as a result of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, war, famine, pestilence, and death. It is not a place you want to be.
And that's before Armageddon.
Well, and that's, yeah. That's well before Armageddon is still at the end of that. Armageddon is 3.5 years out because Antichrist desecrates God's temple at the midpoint. So what will Israel do now? Now, I'm going to get into some specifics of Ezekiel 38 here, but it looks like the better part of this episode will be addressing this issue because it's just like the red heifer. And that's another reason you need to go back and listen to these archive shows. It's a big deal. This is a big deal because the events that have occurred and are occurring are moving Israel rapidly into a direct confrontation with Iran. And at that point, you're going to see this Russian pan-Arab invasion
right.
of Israel.
That's going to drag the Russians to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Russia, ancient Persia is the primary protagonist. That's Iran. Turkey, Syria, Libya, it's a rogues gallery. And when they attack Israel, stand by, because God himself will deliver them. But in the current context, what does Israel do right now? What we have just witnessed, just like October 7, ladies and gentlemen, it was a shocking attack on God's people. Iran, for the first time, attacked the state of Israel directly. And what will they do now? Well, that's a big question.
That's a very good question.
And we've seen, of course, the clown that poses as president up here do nothing. He's offered some piecemeal support. Comrade Biden told Netanyahu here within the last few days that if Israel conducts a direct retaliatory attack against Iran, the United States will not help them. And you know what? That is precisely correct, because that's exactly what the Scripture says.
That's what's happening right now.
That's right.
Absolutely.
The Scripture says the West sits on the sidelines with this thing. When that hoedown occurs, the West does nothing to help Israel. In fact, they raise a rhetorical question. Have you come to seize, spoil, and take plunder? Why, yes. Yeah, we have. But they'll be dealing with God. So, overall, Iran sent more than 300 drones and missiles toward Israel. Two Israeli officials told the New York Times that Iran launched 185 drones, 36 cruise missiles, and 110 surface-to-surface missiles as part of the unprecedented attack on Israel. According to the sources, most of the launches were carried out from Iranian territory, while a small portion of them came from Iraq and Yemen. Again, all part of a evil alliance that will try to destroy Israel. Besides the United States, Britain, and Jordan also helped intercept the launches. The good news is that the combined military response was able to shoot down 99% of those weapon systems.
Now, the United States didn't participate in that, correct?
They shot down some. Jordan shot down some. But that's why I said it was a piecemeal response.
Okay.
They are not going to stand by Israel in a direct confrontation or war with Iran. That's what he said. Of course, he doesn't even know what day it is.
Nope.
He probably won't remember what he said. But I digress. So that's very good news. And at the end of the day, there was very little damage, although there was apparently the Israeli sources confirmed that a 10-year-old girl was severely injured by shrapnel But we don't have additional detail. Apparently, there were no other casualties other than this child.
And that's amazing.
Yeah, well, it's the hand of God. The Iranians are trying to frame this as a victory, but the truth is, of course, it was a defeat because this, in fact, probably gives Israel some options, Rob, because had there been widespread damage and huge casualties, the Israelis would have been obligated to take it to them.
Well, let me just point out something here, though, John.
Sure.
Right now, at least as far as we know, the Iranians do not have a deliverable nuclear weapon.
Right.
But had they had them, you can see how quickly they could come on into the Israeli territory because what they shot them from, what, Lebanon, which is...
Well, these were fired from Iranian territory.
Oh, they were fired from Iran?
That's
but
right.
It didn't take them long to get there.
Right, and Iraq and Yemen, I think, were the other locations. But as you can see, Israel is surrounded by enemies or the sea 360 degrees, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
I had the privilege of sitting next to Dr. Boaz Gnor one night at dinner when I was training in Herzliya at the Institute for Counterterrorism. And I remarked to him that it was hard for me to understand what it must be like to live with the constant threat of war. And he looked at me, he said, John, as a Jew, I live with the expectation or the possibility of annihilation every day. Now, get your mind around that, ladies and gentlemen, what it would be like to live every day with the possibility of annihilation. You can't, we don't have a perspective for
no, something. No, and I don't think we ever will.
No, but they do, but they have the God of Israel, the God of the universe, who will protect them. It's this could have been a very different scenario.
Oh, absolutely.
But since the Iranian attack was, in fact, a failure, it gives Israel some options, which one of which is they can just wait. Now,
well, they're not going to respond immediately.
No,
that's just not going to happen.
You can you can take this to the bank. They will respond.
Oh yeah, they're going to. They already said that publicly that they would respond.
Well, and they increased the operations against Hezbollah in the north and that sort of thing.
Right.
Comrade Biden told Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, the U.S. will not support any counterattack against Iran, according to sources. That is no surprise. It's precisely what is described in Ezekiel 38, which we'll get to in a few minutes. Biden spoke with Netanyahu in a late night call after the attack and so forth. All righty then, moving right along. Biden reportedly told the prime minister, you get a win, take a win. What he's trying to do is mitigate. Listen, if this hoedown were to kick off, that has bad implications for him in November.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Horrible implications.
Right. If this thing were to expand into a regional war, and we do not have the assets to respond right now.
No, we don't. We're not over there.
Well, they withdrew.
Yeah.
Withdrew.
If we were still in Iraq, still had the Basra Air Base.
Well, Afghanistan.
You'd be okay. But that's neither here nor there. What I wanted to point out was it was either the same day of the attack or a day after the attack, we released more than $10 billion to the Iranians.
Well, that helped fund some of that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But it's only going for humanitarian help.
Well,
we're sure of that.
Well, what you have are politicians inside the Beltway who are pawns of Satan.
Yes, absolutely correct. You're absolutely right.
Ladies and gentlemen, you need to forget politics at this time. I've told you this. I told you this 6 months ago or more. We are no longer dealing with politics. We're dealing with pure evil. This is a conflict which is engaged with good against evil. You need to understand it. You need to get into your Bible and find out what God says about the future and about what God says, in fact, about the events which are occurring right before your eyes.
Absolutely.
So, apparently, Biden dissuaded Bibi Netanyahu from greenlighting an immediate retaliatory strike against Iran, according to the New York Times. Of course, as I pointed out, they will respond, and they are already responding.
Yeah.
But it's primarily with Lebanon. But again, you're talking about a two-front war. That's not easy, because I remember in the 90s when I was active reserve, we were war gaming about a two-front regional conflict, win-win, then it went to win-one, hold one, then it went to win-one and do the best you can. This is challenging.
Right now, it'd be, I don't know whether we can win any.
I won't take that bet. This is another dimension. The ancient rabbinic scholars believe this war would be fast, and that, in fact, is what is described in Ezekiel 38 that we're going to look at here momentarily. It's a blitzkrieg. They come like a storm, like a cloud to cover the land. As a matter of fact, they only thought it would last about a week. It will be fast, whatever it is. The indication is it is at the very beginning of the tribulation period or just before, because they are burning weapons for 7 years, as I pointed out, no coincidence. So the UN Security Council, which is worthless as udders on a boar hog, met, I think, Sunday to discuss it. Of course, all they can do is pontificate and run the mouth. Wealthy Western countries do not approve of what Iran did, but they are desperate to seeing a major regional conflict erupt. Now, that's right. The bottom line there. And they're trying to keep a lid on it.
They don't want to see another Southeast Asia.
No. But this is very different than Southeast Asia.
Oh, yeah, I agree. But that's in their mind, that's what it is.
Oh, no. Because they don't know any better.
Right.
They are trying to assess and respond from a secular paradigm.
Yes.
Where that is an impossible to get a right answer. You have to look at it through God's eyes.
Yes.
Through a spiritual lens. And so some are calling for a direct strike against the nuclear program in Iran. My exegesis is that, in fact, will be the trigger one day that sets off the war of Gog and Magog. Even though it's uncertain whether or not Israel will strike Iran, I would say we're probably not going to see direct retaliatory strikes in the immediate future. All righty. So the escalating violence has raised concerns about a broader conflict. You think already there is already a wider conflict. As I said, they're fighting a two-front war.
Well, and the Houthis, too.
And the Houthis, yeah, that's right. They'll get theirs one day as well. A source within Lebanon's Iran-backed Hezbollah said Israel struck one of the buildings, which in fact turned out to be a significant weapons manufacturing site. Hmm. They are very good at what they do. Israel is already striking back, of course, with Hezbollah. Striking Iran would be a pretty bold move.
Yeah.
The world is in uncharted territory here.
Yeah, we've never been to, we've been quote unquote to the brink before, but we've never been to the brink of this.
Well, so what does God have to say about all this? I mean, Ezekiel 38, and by the way, I suspect that what's described in Psalm 83, and by the way, what is the motivation for all of this business? Well, it hasn't changed in 2,500 years. When the 83rd Psalm was penned, the scripture declares that your enemies are confederate against you, and they take shrewd counsel together, and they say, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. And, of course, these were the Moabites and the Edomites. The Moabites basically judged in that in antiquity. But the Edomites are alive and well. The Palestinians are Edomites. Edom was ancient, what is now today the modern-day state of Jordan. But the Palestinians are Jordanian. Need to go back to Jordan. But I digressed again. So, son of man, I'm in verse 2. Set your face toward Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshesh, and Tubal, prophesy against him, and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshesh, and Tubal, and I will turn you about and put hooks into your jaws, and I'll bring you out, all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them splendidly attired, a great company with buckler and shield, all wielding swords, Persia, Iran, Ethiopia, Put, Libya, with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer with all its troops, Turkey,
yeah.
Being by directly
Gomer,
involved.
Yeah.
Also, the land of the Scythians will be involved, Rob. That is eastern Ukraine. So that was no surprise to me when Russia essentially established hegemony over the eastern part of Ukraine.
Right.
Which is primarily Russian-speaking anyway. Be prepared, verse 7, and prepare yourself, you and all your company that are assembled about you, and be a guard for them. After many days, you will be summoned. In the latter years, you will come into the land that is restored from the sword, whose inhabitants have been gathered out of many nations to the mountains of Israel, which had been a continual waste, but its people were brought out from the nations, and they are living securely, all of them. Notice that does not say they're living in peace.
No.
They're living securely, compliments of the IDF and the Israeli Air Force. Also, this is modern. This is not ancient Israel. This is modern Israel.
Right.
They were out of the land for 1,900 years, miraculously restored on 14 May 1948.
Yeah, that prophecy, that verse right there that you just talked about, that eliminates any consideration that this prophecy was about ancient Israel.
That's precisely correct. It is mutually exclusive. And notice it says, you gathered to the mountains of it, which had been a continual waste. When Mark Twain went there in 1870, that's what was a burnt over desert.
Yeah.
A few Jews, a few Bedouins and so forth, but it was essentially it was desolate.
It's a wasteland, yeah.
Just exactly as the Bible describes here. So, it goes on. And you will go up, you will become like a storm, like a cloud covering the land, you and all your troops, and many peoples with you, thus says the Lord God. It will come about on that day that thoughts will come into your mind, and you will devise an evil plan. Who, pray tell, might put those thoughts there?
Well, I wonder.
Well,
might it be the Prince of Persia?
I think so, or Satan himself. And you will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go up against those who are at rest, that live securely, all of them living out walls, having no bars or gates. This is a picture of the West Bank.
Yes.
And those settlements. And also where the Hamas attacked those innocent civilians, men, women, and children, to capture spoil and to seize plunder, to turn your hand against the waste places which are now inhabited, just exactly as described.
Yes.
And against the people who are gathered from the nations, who have acquired cattle and goods, and who live at the center of the world. It's a very wealthy nation. Sheba, Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish. The King James talks about the young lions. The line of history was England. The young lions, probably the United States, Australia, and so forth. In other words, related to
the progeny
and by the way, we are lock, stock, and barrel Roman. The same eagle that sits atop the flagpole sat atop the standards of the legions as they conquered the known world. Western civilization was driven by Rome, and what we are seeing is a revival of the old Roman Empire,
right,
except bigger and meaner in the present day. So this was a world they didn't know anything about. This is the Western Alliance that is being described here in the Bible, and more particularly in the King James. Now, what will they say? What is their response? They will say to you, have you come to capture spoil? Have you assembled your company to seize plunder, to carry away silver and gold and take away cattle and goods, and to capture great spoil? Why, yes, we have.
Of course we have.
Therefore, prophesy, son of man, and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel are living securely, will you not know it? And you will come from your place out of the remote parts of the north. That's Russia.
Yep.
All of them riding on horses, probably armored vehicles and so forth. A great assembly and a mighty army. And you will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will come about in the last days that I shall bring you against my land. And there's another context, Rob. In the last days.
Right.
In order that the nations may know me, when I shall be sanctified through you before their eyes, O God. Listen very carefully. Thus says the Lord God, are you the one of whom I spoke in former days through my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied in those days for many years that I would bring you against them? And it will come about on that day when God comes against the land of Israel, declares the Lord God, that my fury will mount up in my anger, And in my zeal and in my blazing wrath, I declare that on that day there will surely be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, nor do I want to find
out. No, I don't want to find out either.
His fury will mount up in his anger. Stand by.
Yes.
This is why I said their destiny is war with God on the mountains of Israel. And the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains also shall be thrown down. Steep pathways will collapse. Every wall will fall to the ground, and I shall call for a sword against him on all my mountains, declares the Lord God. The Jews will be wearing their rearing out
yes.
on the way. And with pestilence and with blood I shall enter to judgment with him, and I shall rain on him and on his troops and on the many peoples who are with him a torrential rain, with hailstones, fire, and brimstone. And I shall magnify myself, sanctify myself, and make myself known in the sight of many nations, and they will know that I am the Lord. And of course, Ezekiel 39:1 declares, and you can read this specifically in the King James, only 1/6 survive, 16%. And I know we're up against a hard one.
We are. We'll take it right now. This is World in Crisis with John Gasser. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back to World in Crisis with John Gasser. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We are coming to you from Commerce, Georgia, the studios of Whisper 95.1 FM at WJJC 1270 AM. You can get us worldwide at WJJC.net and Whispering951.com. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia, and Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. They play the program at different times of the day, different days of the week. So wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gasser. John?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the scripture here in Ezekiel 38, so that we can establish some further continuity. This is in 39, I'm going to begin in verse 7. And my holy name I shall make known in the midst of my people Israel, and I shall not let my holy name be profaned any more. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, it is coming, and it shall be done, declares the Lord God. That is the day of which I have spoken. Then those who inhabit the cities of Israel will go out and make fires with the weapons and burn them, both shields, bucklers, bows, arrows, war clubs, and spears. And for 7 years they will make fires of them. This is why I said that is suspicious, because there's no coincidence, and that just happens to be the precise time of Jacob's trouble. 7 years of 360 days each. All right, I'm continuing here in verse 10. And they will not take wood from the field or gather firewood from the forest, for they will make fires with the weapons, and they will take the spoil of those who despoil them and seize the plunder of those who plundered them. And it will come about on that day that I shall give Gog a burial ground in Israel, the valley of those who pass by east of the sea, and it will block off the passersby. So they will bury Gog there with all his multitude, and they will call it the Valley of Hamon Gog. I have seen. If you stand on the shores of the Dead Sea and look across into Jordan,
right.
that is a desolation. It's a salt flat. That's where they're going to bury Gog, the Valley of Hamon Gog. Now, listen carefully. For 7 months, the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. Even all the peoples of the land will bury them, and it will be to their weapons on that day that I glorify myself, declares the Lord God. And they will set apart men who will constantly pass through the land, burying those who were passing through, even those left on the surface of the ground, in order to cleanse it. At the end of 7 months, they will make a search. And as those who pass through the land pass through, and anyone sees a man's bone, then he will set up a marker by it until the buriers have buried it in the Valley of Hamon Gog. Now, here's what's interesting. I can tell, I'm fixing to change hats. I can tell you that what I just read describes the precise protocol that would be used in a hot zone. If those bones were radioactive, they would put a marker until the guys in the level one suits could come collect it.
Right.
And so what this seems to indicate to me is that there's surely or will very likely be tactical nuclear weapons used during that conflict. As a matter of fact, it's been some weeks ago. Remember, we discussed an obscure prophecy in Isaiah 17:1, maybe in last week, that the oracle of the Lord concerning Damascus will be left a heap of ruins.
It was last week.
It's the oldest continuously inhabited city on earth. That destruction is, of course, yet future. The Israelis just attacked the Iranian embassy in Damascus about a week and a half ago, and that is being held up as provocation for Iran to attack Israel directly. But here's the point. The Russians are in force, on ground in force in Syria.
Right. They're already there.
My suspicion is that when this thing kicks off, the Israelis will probably put a tactical nuke on Damascus. That would be my guess. And, of course, neutralize the nuclear reactors. They're going to kill a bunch of Russians. And that puts the hooks in the jaws. The Russians really don't want to do that, but they're going to be drawn out, as the scriptures are telling.
And the Russian pride would take over at that point.
Well, and notice it says, I'll put hooks in your jaws. That's the way they moved unruly horses in Roman times.
Right.
If the horse didn't want to go, you put a hook in his mouth and encouraged it and bring him out. And that's exactly what's going to happen here. Now, there are two schools of thought as to the timing of this war. And I have here, I'm not going to hold this out as hard doctrine, but I suspicion this occurs just after the rapture of the church.
Right.
The rapture is the catalyst that sets all the rest of the dominoes in motion. So Christ takes the church out. Antichrist comes forth to try to calm folks down. Somebody tries to kill him. He's wounded, and he's going to make a miraculous recovery. The war of Gog and Magog kicks off. As Dr. Lindsay pointed out, there has to be a brief interlude. The covenant with death, the false peace of Antichrist, does not occur the day after the rapture. It may be 60, 90 days out.
Right.
And I suspect this war will occur during that period of time.
Can you imagine what the feeling of the folks left? There'll be a bewilderment for a long time.
Yes.
I mean, they'll just be completely confused, and that's going to set up the Antichrist being able to, quote-unquote, explain what happened.
Right, and they'll believe a lie.
Yeah.
That's what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2. So, this war will likely act as a catalyst for the false peace, Rob. This will entail carnage, death, and destruction that has not been seen since the Second World War. Will likely set up the conditions for the false peace. Now, understand, day one of the tribulation is the day that Antichrist signs the false peace. And I suspect the false prophet will also be a signatory, because they will have to have ecclesiastical guarantees as well as political, economic, and military guarantees. Ladies and gentlemen, the Russian connection with the enemies of Israel, particularly Iran, and those rogue players in theater, needs to be watched carefully. I have some documentation. It's as close as last March, a year ago, a Russian arms maker invited a delegation of Iranians to a shopping tour of its weapons factories. The Iranians have been buying weapons from Russia.
Yeah.
The Russians are buying drones from Iran. They are also looking to get S-400 anti-aircraft systems,
right.
S-35s, which are a superior class of fighter aircraft. They are preparing for war, ladies and gentlemen. That is what I'm trying to get across here. The weapons deals, some details of which have not been reported previously, are part of a broader collaboration that includes co-production of military drones inside Russia, the sharing of anti-jamming technology, real-time battlefield assessments of weapons deployed against NATO-equipped forces in Ukraine. The intelligence officials and experts said, in other words, they're seeing how they're using that as a testing ground.
Yeah, test, see what probing and what can happen.
Well, to see what's effective. The cooperation is reaping substantial benefits for both countries while elevating Iran's status from junior ally to strategic partner. Do you get that? They are joined at the hip here, just as Ezekiel indicates that Iran, ancient Persia, modern Iran, is the primary protagonist with the Russians, joined with all this, with the rogues gallery of other nations.
Right.
As well. So it is no longer the patron-client dynamic where Russia holds all the leverage. It apparently is now that's gone beyond those types of things. There's knowledge transfer and tangible gains on both sides. It is a symbiotic relationship.
Right.
Becoming, in many respects, codependent based on what I'm reading here. Intelligence officials describe Russia as advancing agreements negotiated in secret to supply Iran with Su-35s. I mentioned that. That is capable of defeating stealth aircraft, by the way. So are the S-400 anti-aircraft system.
Right.
One of Russia's most capable fighter bombers, and potentially a dramatic upgrade to an Iranian air force, which can consist mainly of planes and Soviet-era aircraft from the late 70s. Russia also pledged to provide technical help with Iranian spy satellites, as well as assistance in building rockets to put more satellites into space. We don't know about the delivery of these weapon systems yet.
No.
That is likely secret. But you can see that this process is moving ahead inexorably. We saw, of course, as I mentioned, a Israeli airstrike against Iran's consulate in Damascus on 1 April, which killed two Iranian generals and led, was probably a big factor in this latest attack. So we're looking at a time, the Iranian regime is moving very fast and unchecked,
yes,
ladies and gentlemen. More recently, we have begun to see new kinds of unmanned aerial vehicles, UAVs, and so forth. The trove of Russian and Iranian emails and records released by a hacking group purportedly stolen from an Iranian server linked the Revolutionary Guard Corps to all of these deals. This is precisely what we should expect to see based on the 38th chapter.
Absolutely.
Well, he's beginning to wiggle or squirm.
I'm more like squirming than wiggling.
Okay. Before he starts flailing, I'm supposed to give my final thought. And tonight, that can only be from Paul's letter to the church at Rome, Romans 8:1. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus knows his own. When you are saved today in the church age, the age of grace, you are sealed with the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1, the Greek there is phraizo. It's like Caesar taking his ring and stamping ownership. Paul said you were bought with a price. And that price was not the blood of bulls and goats. It was by the precious blood of a lamb unblemished, the precious blood of Christ, who poured out his lifeblood on Calvary for you and for me. He is the only hope for you, for me, or for this world. I pray, I beg with you this very night to receive the Lord Jesus into your heart, that you might be saved and pass from death to life and life eternal. Do not play Russian roulette with eternity. May the Lord richly bless you.
And for John Gassard, I'm Rob Jordan. Until next time, thanks for listening.